upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Greetings to all listeners around the world. Patrick Wood here for Technocracy News and Trends. And boy, do I have a story for you today. I'm going to get right to it. And the first story I want to talk about is about one of my favorite economists, Dr. Lawrence Kotlikoff. From years ago, it was Dr. Kotlikoff who tallied up and exposed the actual unfunded liabilities of the United States. In other words, the total debt of the United States, which is not just the published figure of 20-some trillion dollars, but including all of the off-budget debts, Dr. Kotlikoff concluded that the actual national debt was somewhere around $212 trillion, and that was at least 10 years ago. Well, Dr. Kotlikoff continues to write. He is now a famed economist, in my opinion, and he has concluded now that even a small carbon tax levied today will cause economic loss to at least two future generations, and possibly more. So in short, carbon tax will do just the opposite of what the climate alarmists claim that it will do. It will not save future generations. It will not save our children, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, etc. It will harm them. Well, you can read this report. It was actually published on the Mises Institute website, which is concerned, of course, with Austrian economics. And you can decide for yourself if carbon tax is a good idea or not. Just about every climate alarmist in the world is calling for carbon tax now. Somewhere there needs to be some sanity injected into the conversation. I hope that's you and me, but somebody needs to. These people are just off base. They think they're going to save the world, and yet the policies that they're implementing are going to destroy the world instead of help it. The second story concerns a gentleman by the name of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yes, it's that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the son of the late Bobby Kennedy, who just happens to be leading the national anti-vaccine movement. And I want to point out in this article, the reason I posted it is to show that big tech doesn't just censor the conservative voice. They censor anybody that doesn't agree with them for whatever reason. They decide. Now, Robert F. Kennedy is a champion for anti-vaccine movement, but he's still quite liberal, and he is a Kennedy. And he probably deserves to be heard, but not according to big tech. They censor him and anybody else that follows him, and anybody that posts anti-vaccine material is now routinely vacated from the social media that it appears on. Yep, it's a two-way street, isn't it? You have conservatives on one side who are squawking that they and only they are the ones being persecuted. Why, it's those liberals that are doing it to him. Well, I got news for you. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a good guy, he's a good American, his heart's in the right place on some issues here, but he is as liberal as any Kennedy ever was. No, big tech will censor who big tech wants to censor, and it's not just a left-right issue. And that brings me to really the meat of today's broadcast, and that is an article that I finished this morning that I have titled, Google, None Dare Call It Sedition. This is an important story, and I'm asking you, pleading with you, to share this story every possible place and way that you can. I guarantee you that once Google picks up on this, they're going to censor me to death. They're going to drop me out of the news feeds. They already have, actually, but they're going to really drop me out of the news feeds now that I have picked up on some of their shenanigans and I'm willing to write about it, and I am. I'm going to share this article with you now, but I want you to go to technocracy.news, find the article, Google, None Dare Call It Sedition, and click on the share buttons, on the email button, whatever, share it, let people know, spread it around. We need to hold Google's feet to the fire on this. I, for one, am absolutely fed up with it. These people are attempting a coup on our nation. And I'll tell you why. I'll share this story with you right now. I started out by saying Google has now flatly stated its intent to influence and control public perception so as to manipulate and determine national political election outcomes. It does this by using AI algorithms to skew search results, presenting only their political views and suppressing dissenting or alternative views. By the way, even if they're the views of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. However, this is not a free speech issue. Google is not a news organization. It doesn't hire journalists, nor does it create original content. Rather, Google is simply an information utility that indexes existing and new journalistic content. Google's all-powerful and pervasive internet crawler is able to discover virtually 100% of everything published in the world on an hour-by-hour or minute-by-minute basis. In other words, Google knows everything there is to know. The question is, will it tell us all that it knows or only part of it? Google is very much a public utility that resembles a telephone company. When your local telephone company publishes a telephone book, it simply indexes people by last name and puts their number next to it. It's easy for one person to find another and then pick up the phone and make a phone call. What would happen if the phone company started making decisions about who could have a listing in their master directory? What if they simply dropped out all people who were discovered to be Republicans or Democrats? What if they deleted people because they had a certain skin color or national origin or religion? While on one hand, the phone company was willing to connect and charge for service in everybody's home, those suppressed individuals would only be able to make outbound calls and they would seldom receive any inbound calls because nobody would know they exist. Would America ever tolerate this? Well, of course not. In fact, it would spark a national uproar of epic proportions. So, can anyone explain why Google is getting a free pass on hiding the particulars of its indexing algorithms from public consumers of information? It would be bad enough if Google simply dropped out certain pieces of information. But they have gone way beyond this by rearranging the results it chooses to release and presenting them in such a manner to show an alternate reality that purposely misleads the public. This is what is called, quote, weaponizing data, close quote, to actively and intentionally lead people to false conclusions in order to modify their behavior. To say this is wrong is an understatement. To say it is illegal is complicated, but it is certainly possible. Subtitle, Has Google Unleashed Project Dragonfly? On August 1st, 2018, the left-leaning journal called The Intercept originally broke the story that Google was creating a censored version of its search engine for China. The secret project was named Dragonfly. The UK journalist Ryan Gallagher created an international uproar with the first report, but has since written 23 additional investigative articles that expose fully Google's activities in China. And Gallagher wrote this, quote, Documents seen by The Intercept, marked Google Confidential, say that Google's Chinese search app will automatically identify and filter websites blocked by the Great Firewall. When a person carries out a search, banned websites will be removed from the first page of results. The search app will also blacklist sensitive queries so that no results will be shown at all when people enter certain words or phrases, the documents state. The censorship will apply across the platform. Google's image search, automatic spell check, and suggested search features will incorporate the blacklists, meaning that they will not recommend people information or photographs the government has banned. Well, this is exactly what Google is now doing to the United States, except that it is acting on its own accord and apparently not under the orders of a national government. Ex-Google CEO Eric Schmidt, a member, by the way, of the elitist Trilateral Commission, was recently interviewed by BBC and stated, quote, The world is a very interconnected place. There are many, many benefits interacting, among other things, with China. I believe they would be better to stay in China and help change China to be more open, close quote. Well, apparently, what is good for China's censorship seems to be good for the U.S. as well. Will The Intercept call out Google for doing to the U.S. what it intended to do for China? Will the American public be as outraged over domestic censorship as they were about the possibility of China censorship? Well, here is Google's clear agenda. When Google's head of responsible innovation, Jen Janai, stated recently, thanks to a release by Project Veritas, she said, again, it wasn't just us, it was the people that got screwed over. The news media got screwed over, like everybody got screwed over. So we're rapidly been like, what happened there and how do we prevent it from happening again? You can sort of tell this gal is a valley girl, like everything is like. Well, what does Google want to prevent from happening again? According to Janai's own lips, it is, quote, preventing the next Trump situation, close quote. Social justice warriors like Janai have obviously discovered the power of Google's internet machine to practice social engineering according to their exclusive worldview, while excluding all other views. While some lawmakers are already investigating antitrust measures against Google, they might be missing the more salient issue, that is, sedition. According to one legal source, sedition is a serious felony punished by fines and up to 20 years in prison, and refers to the act of inciting revolt or violence against a lawful authority with the goal of destroying or overthrowing it. Whether they realize it or not, Google is deep into the process of meddling with the election process in the United States to create insurrection in order to cause the overthrow of our lawful national government established according to the U.S. Constitution. In short, it is the citizens of our nation who decide national, state, and local leadership, and not Google. Well, virtually every public servant in the United States is required to take an oath to defend and uphold the Constitution of the United States. I'll tell you what, it's time to hold some feet to the fire. We need to be sparked to outrage over this and not let Google get away with subverting the national sovereignty of our nation. For the sake of a few who have a twisted and perverted view of reality, we cannot and must not let Google impose those views on the rest of the world to our detriment and hurt. That means we need to reclaim our free and open voting process in America, and we need to reclaim an open and balanced internet that's available to all on an equal footing. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Catch you next time.